Amen. So we're going to continue on in our series here as we're stepping in to Easter. Now, as you guys know, Easter, I love Easter. Easter is always expressive time for me. This is, like I said, this is my Super Bowl. This is where it all culminates. So we're kind of halfway through our journey here. Now, so we find ourselves halfway through. The past few weeks, we've been walking the road of resurrection together. Now, we've been listening closely to the words that Jesus spoke to us from the cross. And you know that if he spoke to us from the cross, that it's going to be important for us. We've heard words of mercy, and we've heard words of forgiveness. And we've seen a Savior who's extended grace while he was in his suffering. But today, we're going to come to some of the hardest words that he may have said from the cross. Because on the cross, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? These words are a bit confronting for us. It's kind of hard for us to understand as Christians because so many times we have the idea that if we have faith, that we can't have questions. That if we truly believed in God, that you wouldn't have a lament, you wouldn't cry out to God. But we see Jesus here in this moment, he does exactly that. The cross shows us something different. Right here in the middle of his suffering, Jesus gives voice to something very human and something that we've all felt at one point. When prayers feel like they've gone unanswered, when pain feels like it doesn't make sense, I know we've had a number of people in our church the last little while who have been dealing with some issues. There's been some losses. I know for myself, I've had to deal with a loss personally. Jeremy just lost his father. There's been a number of others who have had loved ones sick and dealing with it. And sometimes we cry out and we say, God, why is this happening? But then our society says, well, wait a second. If you're a Christian, why are you crying out in lament? That's not Christianly. But God says something different. It's about discovering that lament is not the opposite of belief, but sometimes it's one of the deepest expressions of it. And the good news is this: if Jesus himself prayed this prayer, then there is room for us to question too. Because as we cry out in our pain, in our suffering, it's beautiful to know that Jesus was there too. Jesus has felt our pain. So the road to resurrection runs straight through a valley. But it's important to know that it doesn't end there. That when you're dealing with these feelings of lament and pain, this isn't the end. And we don't live in this and we don't stop in it, but we recognize that these things happen. And so the beauty of it is that Jesus gives real voice to human lament. If you want to turn your Bibles with me to Matthew 27, verse 46, it'll be on the screen also. And it says, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema, I practiced this last night too. My Hebrew is just horrible. Eli, Eli, lema, sabachthani. That's it. See, I keep trying with Hebrew. Greek, I'm a little bit better with. Hebrew is never there. That is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, there's been some people and some ways of looking at this that people are looking at this saying, this is when Jesus has become sin for us. And God has turned his head from him. I'm not saying that's not true, but that's not what I want to focus on today. What I want to focus on is that if you look at this, Jesus is actually quoting scripture. If you look in Psalms 22, verse 1, it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. I want us to understand, when you go through the Psalms, lament is part of our lives. And we seem to have this idea in our society and in our church that we have to keep this good face on all the time. That we can't show the world that maybe we're hurting, that we're dealing with some issues. And if we say, I'm a Christian, then we're expected to be able to go, well, it doesn't matter, I'm giving it to God, and I'm going to keep a happy face on anyways. But that's not faith. Faith is being able to cry out to God with our true feelings and what's going on truly in us. Now, lament matters because it's part of the language of faith. God's people have always been able to bring their confusion, their pain, and their questions directly to him. And now Jesus takes that prayer onto his own lips. And he tells us something that's important. Lament is not unbelief. Lament is faith that refuses to pretend. Now, as you go through Psalms 22, now, I mean, this is something I learned a while ago in school, but some of us may not understand this, that Psalms 22 is an exact picture of Christ on the cross. When you look through it, it says in verse 7, all who see me mock me, and they make their mouths at me. They wag their heads. Now, if you look back in Matthew 27, it says, and those who passed by him derided him, wagged their heads, and said, you would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Save yourself. Everything that happened in Psalms 22, God showed us, happened on the cross. Which means that we as a people, we are able to cry out to God. If you're going through problems, if you're going through issues, don't feel bad. Say, well, God, if I had better faith, then I wouldn't have these feelings. But that's not the Christ that we serve. Because we're not going to pretend that we don't deal with things. We don't deal with struggles. We don't deal with issues in our lives. It's okay to say, my God, why? Why is this happening? Because that's how we truly feel. If you go through the Psalms, at least half the Psalms are laments. But when you read those Psalms, the laments don't stop there. Because just as Christ was on that cross and there was a lament, it didn't end there. He cried out because he was in the middle of it. Even in the moment when he feels forsaken, he still says, my God, my God. Church, I don't know what you're going through in your lives right now. But there's going to be hard times. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be things in your life that you don't understand. And I want you to know that it's okay, that it's expected, that God wants you to cry out and say, my God, where are you? What is happening? I got to say, this happens to me quite a bit. Where I've learned not to hold it in, not to say, well, I can't have these feelings, but I cry out to God constantly and say, God, I don't understand what's going on. God, I'm crying out to you in this moment of distress and despair. And it's not a bad thing, because God wants to hear your heart. The relationship remains even when reassurance does not. That's what real faith looks like under pressure. Jesus was fully God, but he was also fully human. And in his humanity, he feels the weight of the suffering, the silence of heaven, and the ache when it feels like abandonment. Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the high priest who can sympathize with your weakness. It's not a theory. It's not from distance, but because he walked through it himself. Because we know that Jesus felt all these feelings. He understands us. So when we cry out to him, he's there saying, I understand you. I know where you're coming from. Jesus knows what it feels like when God seems silent. He knows the ache of unanswered prayers. He knows the confusion of suffering that doesn't make sense. And because Jesus prayed this prayer, our prayers are given permission. Permission to ask why. Permission to grieve honestly. Permission to bring our whole selves to God, not just a polished faith. Because sometimes faith sounds like the worship we just had. But sometimes faith sounds like, my God, why? And I want you to know that God receives both. That God hears both. And then Jesus enters into forsakenness so that we don't have to. Because we don't live in this. Why? Because we know we serve a risen Savior, that he cried out, my God, but that wasn't the end. In that moment, it was about more than emotion. Jesus was not feeling abandoned. He was bearing the weight of our sins. When Jesus cries out from the cross, he's crying because of the weight of humanity that was placed on him. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:12, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Isaiah says that the suffering servant was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. At the cross, Jesus was standing in your place. This is substitution. It's not symbolic. It's not partial. When Christ was on that cross, it was real. Every sin, every mistake you had ever making, you have ever made, or will ever make, every moment of guilt that you have felt, Christ took that upon himself so that you do not have to sit in that. You may feel that momentarily, but it's now our ability to put that on the cross and give that to Jesus so you do not have to feel that anymore. Jesus enters the depth of separation so that we never have to experience ultimate separation from God. The forsakenness he feels is the cost of redemption. We have to be careful how we understand this moment, though. It does not mean the Father stopped loving the Son. It does not mean that the Trinity was somehow broken apart. What it means is that Jesus willingly stepped into the consequences of your sin and my sin so that the relationship between God and humanity could be restored. He carried what we deserve. He did that so that we could receive grace. My chains are gone. I've been set free. We so easily sing that song, but we don't really think about the weight of the cost of that song. My chains are gone. You have been set free. Why? Because Christ was on that cross, and he took that willingly. And that means that there's no place you can go, emotionally or spiritually, where Jesus has not already been. There's no darkness. There's no confusion. There is no valley that he has not stepped into for you already. The cross shows us that God is not distant from suffering. He absorbed it. He took it in. As I spoke about the other week, that when they went to give him the wine and they put myrrh in it, it wasn't just because it was bitter. It is because he was willing to take the full suffering. They tried to give him that wine to ease his pain. But Jesus said, no, this is what I'm here for. He was here to experience all the pain so that you would not have to. And that changed everything. So when Christ was on that cross, there's something I need you to understand. When he was saying, my God, my God. It may have felt like Christ, that God was silent. But God's silence is not absence. When Jesus cried out from the cross, heaven may have been silent at that moment, but that does not mean that God was not at work. There was no voice from the clouds. There was no immediate rescue. There was no explanation. It was just silence. And that may be the hardest part of this story. Because, I don't know about you, but I felt like that. I felt like I've cried out to God and said, God, where are you? And it feels like there's nothing coming back. It feels like God is not there. But just because God is silent does not mean that he's absent. During the lunch with a bunch, I love sitting in with it this week. And Rose is going through, and as I was talking to her, she's talking about the intertestamental period. If you don't know what that is, it's the 400 years in between the Old and the New Testament. And a lot of people look at that and go, well, God wasn't really doing anything at that time. There's no prophetic words. There's nothing happening. God was silent. But just because God was silent in those 400 years didn't mean that God wasn't doing something. God was at work. God may be silent in your life right now, and you may be crying out and lamenting to God and saying, God, are you even hearing me? But when we look at the word of God, during that intertestamental period, God was doing things. He was setting up society. He was putting who he needed in place. And although they may not have understood it, God was saying, I need this person to be here. I need this person to conquer this place. I need the way we learn to change, going from a didactic to a Socratic method. So just because God is silent doesn't mean that he's not doing something. And when we cry out and lament to God, he hears, but he knows. Prayers are prayed. Answers we hope for are there. And heaven may seem quiet, but the resurrection reveals something powerful. That God is still working. If we read in Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. The Father did not rescue Jesus from suffering, but he redeemed suffering through the resurrection. And that means that God's silence is never abandonment. I want you to know that God's silence is never abandonment. It's preparation. The cross reminds us that some of God's greatest works happen in the darkest moments. We can't see it, we can't feel it, and we don't understand it. Faith, at times, is not having clarity. Faith is trusting that the one who holds us, even when we cannot see what he is doing. A few weeks ago, I was telling you about my vision for this church. That we are wineskins and God is preparing us and working in us. And I have people ask, what's coming? What's the new wine? And I keep saying, I don't know. I don't know. But I have faith in the one who does. Because that is what faith is. Because when we cry out to God, whether it be for the good or for the bad, faith is knowing that God hears me and God knows. And he knows what is good for me because he works for what is good for me. But my faith says, I don't need to understand. I don't need to understand what God is doing in this church. All I know is that God is doing something in this church. Amen? I don't know why God brought you here today, but my faith says that God had a reason for you to be here today. And I'm not going to question God and say, God, I need to know exactly why we're here. I need to know what exactly it is you're doing, because my faith says I have full trust in my Father. And my Father will continue to do his work. And although it may be suffering for me, I know that God has a better plan for it. It seems like every year I get some sort of saying that I just can't get out of my head. A few years ago was, it's not about you. And you guys are lucky, I haven't preached a lot of those yet, because it's not about you. It's about him. But I truly believe that was something for that time in my life. This year, I've said it time and time again, and some of you are probably like, really, you're saying it again? Every time I pray, everything I do, God's plan, God's purpose. That is a story of my life right now, I got to tell you. I'm tired of hearing myself say it. God's plan, God's purpose. My faith tells me that even when I'm in lament, even when I'm crying out to God and I'm frustrated and I don't understand, maybe the relationships that I have, I'm going to tell you, I love my wife. We have an amazing relationship. It hasn't always been great. And if you've been married for more than 3 minutes, then I can guarantee you that you've felt the same thing. But we don't live in that moment. We don't live in those moments. Because we know that God has something better for us. And although in that relationship, I don't understand her, she doesn't understand me sometimes. I don't understand her at any time. I love my wife, and I'm willing to push through. And understand, and then we get through to times like this where I can truly say God is doing amazing things in our relationship. And maybe you're in a time in your relationship, whether it be with your husband or your wife or your children or your coworkers, and you're like, God, why have you put me here? God, why did you have me join this relationship with this person? And it's okay to cry out for that. It's okay to cry and say, God, why? I'm reading my Bible, I'm praying, but I just can't seem to make things work. It seems like everything is off. It's okay to cry out to God and say, God, I don't understand. God wants you to cry out to that because God cares about you personally. I want you to understand that if anything we get out of this message today, I want you to know that God wants to know you personally. You know, that's not even my message, but I'm all about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is telling me that this is what someone needs to know today. He wants to know you personally. He doesn't want the fake facade. He doesn't want it to look pretty. He wants the nitty gritty. He wants the ugly. He wants to see you ugly cry. And I can ugly cry, trust me. He wants to see the snot bubbles. So he gave you a visual there. But that's what true relationship is. is when you can cry out. You don't got to look pretty. You don't got to put the facade on. God is saying, I want to know your heart. He said, but God, you know my heart. But just because he knows your heart, he wants you to express yourself to him, to be fully open and transparent to him, to open yourself up to him like you would to nobody else. And although he knows what's in you, he wants you to lament and to cry out to him, because that's true faith. That's true relationship. That when I'm with someone and I can ugly cry in front of you, I can cry, I can scream, I can wail, I can tell you my hopes, my fears, the things that are sad in my life. That's relationship. And that's what Christ did on that cross. He cried out. He felt all the sin and shame of everyone. And he showed us, cry out to God when you feel these things. When you can't understand it, cry out to God. And although you may not hear something at that moment, I want you to know that God is in the works. And although you may feel like he's silent and he's not hearing you, I guarantee you, my God is hearing you. And he's working something for you. But don't stop there. Don't stop in the valley. Jesus didn't stop in the valley. Because guess what? We're coming to Super Bowl Sunday, where he came back. The ultimate comeback story. Sunday is coming. There may have been silence on the Friday, but Sunday is coming. Today, we've stood with Jesus in one of the darkest moments on the cross. We've seen the lament is not an absence of faith. It's often the language of faith in pain. We've seen that Jesus stepped into forsakenness for us, carrying the weight of our sin so that we would never have to truly be abandoned. And we've seen that God, in his silence, does not mean that he's absent, but that he's in the works. Even when heaven seemed quiet, God is still working. Church, God is still working. In those relationships that seem like they're going nowhere, God is still working. In the midst of your suffering, it's not the end of your story. It's a place where God wants to be God. Because the road to resurrection always passes through the valley, but it doesn't stop there. And as we stay on this road, we know that God has something for us. Amen. Church, God has something for you. And I know that there's people here today who are dealing with things in their lives. And there may be things in your lives you're like, I'm going to hold this in, God. But God is saying, I want you to cry out. Church, God is asking us to be real and to cry out to him and to come into true relationship with him. True relationship hides nothing. My wife has seen me ugly cry, jump for joy. She's seen me dance, which is also not a pretty thing. It's right next to the ugly cry. I'm not going to lie. They're both pretty close. But my wife knows me. But my God knows me even better. And God is asking you today, there may be something in your life that you're kind of holding back and going, well, God, if I'm a good Christian, I'm just going to have faith and I'm going to put a happy face on and I'm going to smile and I'm going to nod and, hey, it's great. Great to see you. Hey, fantastic. But God is saying, no, I want you to be real with me. Church, it's time for us to get real with God. It's time for us to say, God, I want you to hear all of my cries, not just the happy praise, which is beautiful, but also the laments, And cry out and say, God, why? Why does it feel like you've forsaken me? Why are you silent in this moment? But then not end there. If you can stand with me. Kathy, I'm going to bug you to play. Now, as we've talked about crying out to God, I pray that you do this at home also in your own prayer time with your wife or your husband or somebody special to you. But I want you all to know that you're special to me. And so that I want to stand with you. And we as a church want to stand with you. And that as you're going through these moments in your lives, and I know there's people in this place now that are going through some difficult times. And although things may seem so great for so many of us, there's so many of us that are also dealing with some hurt, with some pain. And God is saying, bring it to me. Cry out to me. Tell me your hurts. Tell me your pains. Tell me your wants. Tell me your desires. He wants to know every part of you. We serve a personal God, a God who wants personal relationship with you. If you're in this place and maybe you don't know Jesus, I want you to know that all the pain, all the hurt that you felt in your life, Christ is saying, I want to take that on me. He died on that cross for you so that you wouldn't have to live in that forsakenness, that you would not have to live in the separation that sin brings. God is saying, I want to bring you into relationship, true relationship, so that he can give you joy and peace and understanding. So we're going to take a few minutes. If you would like, you can come and you can pray. And we'll stand with you and we'll pray with you. And if you want to cry out and lament and say, God, my God, why? I've been praying about this situation. I've been sick for the last number of years. And God, we've been praying, we've been asking you to heal me. God, why have you not healed me? It's okay, church, to ask. God, why have you not healed me? It's okay to ask. God, why have you not brought my child back into relationship with me? God, why am I estranged from this person? But we're not going to live in that. We're going to voice it. We're going to give it to God. We're going to have faith that even if he's silent, he's in the works. He's not absent. He hears you. So we're going to take a few minutes here. If you'd like to come to pray, we'd love to stand with you.